We ain't going out like that. Watch me go and bounce right back. Cause we ain't going out like that, no. We ain't going out like that. We ain't going out like that. Watch me go and bounce right back. Welcome to the Any Given Season podcast. I'm Nick Carparelli, the executive director of Bowl Season, and we are here today at the United States Military Academy in West Point, New York. I'm looking out over Mikey Stadium, sitting here in Coach Munkin's office. Coach Munkin, thanks for giving us a few minutes of your time.
It's my pleasure. I'm glad to do it.
And of all times, we're 2 days away from what I think some people are saying is the biggest game in Army football and maybe a generation. That might be exaggerating a little bit.
Maybe. There's been some big games here, and this is certainly a big one. But that Army-Navy game every year, it's a pretty big game around here, so I wouldn't want to get in trouble and say any game's bigger than that one.
Yeah, no, don't get in trouble. That's the last thing I want to do, is get you in trouble. Well, we're going to talk about a lot of things today. We're going to talk about Army football, obviously the big Notre Dame game coming up Saturday. We'll talk Army-Navy a little bit. And as I was preparing for this podcast, I realized our conversation is really going to be about rivalries, history, tradition in sports. And personally, I think we're losing that a little bit in college athletics with this conference realignment and all that. But I think that's really what makes sports go is all that history and tradition. And we have Army football on display Saturday, Navy football, the New York Yankees, Yankee Stadium. Have you taken a minute to think about that? I know you're deep in preparation for the game, but this is pretty special.
It is. You walk around this building here, and there's a lot of black and white photos of the Army teams playing against Notre Dame,
yeah,
and the Polo Grounds and Yankee Stadium. And so there's certainly a history in our program of playing this game against this opponent down in New York City. So it's a big game. It's a lot of fun. Our players, I know, are looking forward to the opportunity. It's not often anybody gets to compete in Yankee Stadium. So to be able to do that and be a competitor, that's exciting for everybody in our program.
Kids grow up dreaming about playing in Yankee Stadium.
For sure.
Stadium. Doesn't matter what sport. Well, some facts about the Army-Notre Dame rivalry. This will be the 52nd meeting overall. Some of the more notable games. This year's 100th anniversary of that famed Four Horsemen upset over Army. That was at the Polo Grounds. 1928, Yankee Stadium was Rockne's Gipper speech. In 1946, they called it the game of the century. Number one Army, number two Notre Dame, 0-0 tie. People might have been a little disappointed. Coach, you probably knew this. There were four Heisman Trophy winners that played in that game. Four. You won it the year before. Different Army player won in 46.
Blanchard and Davis.
Yep. Blanchard. Thank you. I should have known that. And then Notre Dame won it the year after and the year after that. That's a fact, a note that'll
Is
never
that Lou
never
Jack
be duplicated.
And
Leanne Hart.
Okay, there you go.
Leanne Hart. So that'll never be duplicated. No. I can't imagine. This will be the 24th game in Yankee Stadium, which is almost half. So again, as I did my research, that Yankee Stadium was the home to this rivalry over the years. But again, this one's feels a little bit different than in recent years. Number 6 Notre Dame, number 19 Army. How meaningful is this game to your football program?
Our players, our coaches, everybody associated with this program, it's one of the things that excites all of us about being a part of Army football, is playing in games like this against opponents like Notre Dame in a venue like this. Why so many of our players came to school here to be a part of a game like this. So it's there's a lot of people play college football and will never get to play in a game like this against Notre Dame and Yankee Stadium. So what a special experience for all of us.
You mentioned the Army-Navy game. That's pretty special. I've been to many of them myself. I kind of get goosebumps watching. It's always a good game. Tell me from your perspective, what's that atmosphere like on game day for you?
It's hard to put into words. There's an indescribable energy in that stadium, regardless of where it's played, how many people are in the stadium. 3 hours before the game, you just walk in the stadium and there's this energy that's there that's indescribable. And there is an intensity in that game on every play that is unmatched in any game I've ever been a part of. And I've coached in national championship games. I've coached in bowl games, conference championships. Nothing, matches the intensity of that game. And it feels like the game is hanging in the balance on every single play. And it is indescribable. It's awesome.
And it kind of is hanging in the balance. It almost feels like, for me watching, you know, I'm just a fan at that point, it feels like it's one mistake away from winning or losing for either side.
It does. It's exactly how it feels. And so just the focus and the pressure and the intensity of each play is really, I mean, you kick the ball off and they don't return it for a touchdown. Like, phew, thank God, you know, the next first play. Okay. We got a chance to stop here. Maybe put them in a long yardage third down situation. I mean, every play you just, it's unreal. There's nothing like it. And that's not to take away from a game like we're going to play on Saturday night, which is just going to be awesome. But that Army-Navy game is something all its own.
Now, when you took over as head coach here in 2014, Navy was in the middle of a 14-game winning streak. You broke that streak in year three. You've won 6 of 8 since then. How important was that for Army football to break that streak and then to win most of the games since then? And how about for you personally? That must have felt pretty good.
Well, it was 12 games when I got here, and unfortunately, they got 2 more on us my first 2 years. I was actually on the other side of the rivalry when that streak started. I was an assistant for Paul Johnson at the other school, and as I often say, the only blemish on my resume working there. But I'm on the right side of the rivalry now, and I felt this great sense of responsibility to end the streak and to get Army football to be competitive in that game. And because that ultimately we are judged on that game, and that is the game for us every year. And so to be able to have some success in that game has been just great for the program and for this institution. And it's, you know, I'm just proud that I was able to be a part of it and to help get Army football back to our competitive ways.
Well, let's talk about you a little bit more, Coach. This is your 11th year at Army, as we mentioned, second all-time winningest coach to Earl Blake. You've 11 years in one place is not common nowadays. So you're doing something right, clearly. But tell me about the evolution of your program that you've seen from when you took over 11 years ago to today. Lots changed in college athletics in general, but you guys are just keep doing your thing and keep getting better.
Well, we've just tried to continue to build the program and build a program that is representative of this great institution and our men and women that serve in the Army. You know, I think there's an expectation by the American people that when the Army puts men and women in place to do a job, they expect us to win. They expect that job to be done well and to be done the right way. And so we should have a football program that wins. There's an expectation, and we do it well, and we do it the right way. And so we, every day, just trying to do that better and improve on who we are, and whether it's facilities or recruiting or the experience that we can create for our players, we try to make that better every day. And we got great people in this program because there's great people in this at this institution. And so we're very fortunate. I've got just an incredible group of young men that I get to work with every day, a great staff, and we're all committed to the same thing. We're all committed to not only winning here, but to preparing leaders who will help us win on other fields, on other days, when the stakes are a lot higher.
Let's talk a little bit more about this place. You're one of 135 Division I FBS head coaches, but this job is a little unique. You yourself, head coach at Navy, head coach at Air Force, a little different than the other 132. You've coached at other places, though. Tell me a little bit more about how this place is different. And do you have greater challenges, or is it a little bit easier in some ways?
We probably don't have enough time in this session to talk about all the things that are different. Our jobs are the same as everybody else's at every other school. We're tasked with putting together a football program that is competitive, that wins, that represents the institution. And we're committed to doing that here. We want to have a winning football program that is representative of the excellence of this institution. But the experiences of our players, the professional standards that are in place for them every day, the academic regimen, the the military training that they do aside from school and football, and that most of that's done in the summertime. It's different, and it creates a different experience. It presents a lot of unique challenges for our athletes, and certainly for us as coaches. And not all those challenges are disadvantages. Many of those challenges are equalizers, and that's the thing that we try to find here. I don't know that there are very many things where we say we can gain an advantage on our opponent, but there are a lot of things that we can do to equalize the competition in the playing field, because frankly, coaches at this level do an amazing job of coaching their football teams and preparing their football teams. You're not going to out-coach somebody. Athletes at this level that play FBS football, incredible athletes that are fast and long and athletic and sudden. And it's hard for us to match up athlete for athlete. So we've got to create equalizers. And I think just the challenges here, the fact that our guys have to bond together and do things together and go through so many challenging experiences while they're here really creates a sense of brotherhood. And in today's world of college football, where rosters oftentimes are transforming as the spring goes along and the summer goes along, our guys, they're going through every one of those steps together from their freshman year all the way till their seniors. And that bond of brotherhood, I think, creates a culture in this program that's unique. And I think that helps us have some success.
Well, I don't know what the answer is. I don't know how you're doing it, Coach, but you're 9-0, 19th in the country. Personally, as I'm a little bit old school, Coach, you know, what's happening in college athletics with guys transferring every year, with guys, people can call it opting out. They can call it, you know, transferring. I call it quitting. In a lot of cases, things aren't going their way. They leave for something better. Oftentimes it's not for them. Commitment isn't a big word for an important word for a lot of people these days, but you guys here embody all of those old school things and you're getting it done. What's your opinion of what's happening in college football these days, whether it impacts you directly or not?
Well, I celebrate that our athletes are able to be rewarded for the time that they put in and how they represent their universities. So being able to accept NIL money and now the revenue sharing, I think that's a positive for college sports. The ability to be able to transfer and go from school to school without there being anything that is an obligation. I struggle with that. I think when we play team sports, we commit to a team, and it's to help the team, but other individuals have a great experience and to help them succeed. And that's what team is. And so I think we'll get some guardrails on it. And I think we'll create ways for there to be something that when you make a commitment to a team that you're obligated to that commitment for a certain amount of time. And I think that's important. It's a great life lesson for our young people that come into our programs and come into our universities. And it's important for them to learn that, you know, sometimes when things are uncomfortable, you can't just quit. You got to fight through some adversity at times. And I think that creates stronger people. And I think that will strengthen our game and college sports in general. So, you know, there's a lot of things that we're moving in positive directions in our sport and in college athletics. But we're probably learning some lessons along the way, and will help us put guardrails on the transfer portal and NIL and paying players that will help our young people excel even more. And I think that's important, is creating ways for them to excel and become the best people that they can be.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think the whole system's going to get a little bit more under control and have some guardrails. And I think we're all waiting for that day. I want to talk about bowl games a little bit. Army's been to 10 bowl games. You've been the head coach for half of them. Army 7-3 overall. You're 4-1. 2 year absence, obviously going to a bowl game this year. How important are bowl games to on the Army football schedule?
Bowl games are important to us like they're important to everybody. It is a measure of success for FBS football programs. To play in a bowl game is to say and be rewarded for having a good season. And I think it's ultra important that we keep bowl games. And I'm in favor of more. I'm in favor of our players, our coaches, our teams to have opportunities to play on national TV, to play in big stadiums, to play against teams from other conferences. And it's great for fans. It's great for sports. It's great for universities to be able to say, we've got a representative of our institution that's excelling, and we get to put them out in front of the nation. And so I'm excited about going to a bowl game. And I'm often asked about, what's your favorite bowl game? What's the best bowl game? They're all good. Any bowl game is a reward for our players. And I'm excited no matter where we have an opportunity to go.
I'm not going to ask you which one's better, which one's your favorite, but of all the bowl games you've been to as a head coach and an assistant, any more memorable moments you've had on the field, off the field? The bowl week events are always popular with the kids.
I was a graduate assistant at the University of Hawaii in 1989, and Hawaii went to its first bowl game. We played in the Aloha Bowl against Michigan State. I got to meet Keith Jackson. They did the dinner that they do, and he was there and was the keynote speaker. He did the game on ABC. And
does he speak in his announcer voice when you talk to him?
You recognize that voice in the pitch dark. And I still have a photograph of myself and Keith Jackson and my brother Tom, who came out for the game. That's one of all time great voices in college football. And so that was a thrill and to be a part of that. But every bowl game that I've been a part of, there are memorable moments and things that I remember from the game themselves, whether it was a play or the outcome, a celebration, a disappointment, an experience that we're able to have. I mean, I've done some incredible things in my life, just things I would never have had a chance to do if we didn't go to a bowl game. To sit in a NASCAR stock car and go around the track in North Carolina, I mean, I'd never do that if I wasn't a part of a bowl game. So I've gotten a chance to do that. And
we talk about that a lot with the student athletes. Yeah. A lot of the destinations that bowl games are held, these student athletes from across the country, they've either never been there before, or sometimes they'll never be there again, and they get to experience all the great things that this country has to offer.
No question. I think one time we did one of those parachute things where you're like you're skydiving, and it, I mean, who gets a chance to do that?
Yeah.
And so for our players, to see them, that's one of the most enjoyable things as a coach, is to see those guys go and have these experiences. And our players here particularly, you know, they don't have a lot of free time. It's not like they get long vacations or
especially your guys.
Yeah, weekends where they've got, you know, 48 hours to just go, and a lot of their time is accounted for here. And so to be able to go to a bowl game in December or January and see our players just for 3 or 4 days get to quote unquote let their hair down and just enjoy being a kid, it's an awesome experience.
Coach, last question for you. We're just going to have a little fun at the end. I got to make sure you don't cheat off my notes here. We said at the beginning that we're going to talk all about history, tradition, rivalries.
Okay.
So I'm going to give you three things, and you got to put them in order from oldest to newest.
Oh, okay.
First bowl game, first Army Navy game, first New York Yankees game.
Okay. First Army Navy game. First Yankees game, first bowl game. 1, 2, 3. Did I get it right?
You got one right, which was probably the most important one for you to get right. Yeah. The first Army-Navy game, November 29th, 1890.
Okay.
Right here in West Point.
Okay.
Number two, first bowl game was the Rose Bowl, January 1st, 1902. Michigan beat Stanford 49-0. And the first Yankee games, they were actually the New York Highlanders at the time. April 22nd, 1903, they lost.
How about it?
They lost to the Washington Senators.
See, I wasn't cheating on your notes.
History, you weren't.
It's good history.
Or you just wanted to make me feel good and played along. One of the two. Coach, thanks so much for joining
Thank
us.
You.
Good luck for on Saturday. Really, really looking forward to seeing that.
Appreciate
game.
That.
I know you guys are going to play hard like you always do.
Our guys will play hard. I hope we play well.
Yep. Coach, thank you.
Thanks a lot. Be Navy.
And that'll do it for this episode of Any Given Season. Please listen to all future and past episodes on Apple Music, Spotify, YouTube, wherever you listen to your podcasts. And for all the bowl season news, please join us on bowlseason.com or on social media at bowl season. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. It's been a long time coming. It's been a long, long time.